Good morning. A warm welcome to each and every one of you. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord. We are going to take a few minutes to look at announcements. If anyone has an announcement they'd like to make, just come on up at this time. We want to extend sincere sympathy to the family of Anne Friesen Neufeld of Altona, who passed away yesterday, Saturday, July 14th. She's the mother of Ray and Bev Friesen, grandmother of JC and Carmen, great-grandmother of Colt and Finley. Please keep that family in your prayers. Have you taken notice of the murals on the south side of the church library? Have any of you actually noticed them? They change periodically. They're hand-painted by our librarian, Megan. Is she here? She's not here right now. They're incredible, and they're worthy of taking time to take note of, and we want to thank Megan for the many hours and the extra touches she puts into making the library such a warm and welcoming place. And thank you to her team of faithful volunteers. I know Lori's part of that, Judy's part of that, maybe there are more. And I'm thankful for such a great space. We have a special birthday girl in the house this morning, Morgan. Where's Morgan? There she is. She turns 20 this day. Can we sing happy birthday to her? Would you lead us in happy birthday?
To you a happy birthday, to you may you find Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, the best one you've ever had.
God bless you, Morgan. It's also a special birthday for Justin Rempel and Tyler Lowen. They share a birthday date. They were born on the same day, is that correct? And Justin is in Cambodia at this moment visiting Tyler. They are spending their birthday together. So blessings on them as they do that. Any other birthday people today? Okay. I also wanted to highlight the memory passage. It's in the insert of your bulletin. It's Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 8. I know that the children are learning it well. Thank you to Luke and Riley, who are leading them in learning it. Thank you for parents who are helping their children at home to learn it. And I encourage you, I challenge you to learn it alongside them. Other bulletin, and just take a look at the bulletin on your own and take note of other announcements. Harley, can you pull up that picture for me? This is my grandpa. His name was Sydney, and my heart responds when I see that picture of him, any picture of him. When I was a child, we lived just down the back lane from him, and I ran down that lane countless times. Always with joy, because I loved spending time with my grandpa. He was my mom's dad, my mom's father, and until her dying day, she referred to him as Daddy. Didn't matter if she was speaking to him when he was alive or whether she was referring to him in the presence of someone else. I never can recall her calling him by any other name. He was Daddy, and it described him well. He was warm and kind and wonderful. He was a quiet man, perhaps mostly because of significant hearing loss due to a traumatic injury as a young man. He had a husky laugh, and in my heart, I can still hear it. As a child, I visited him pretty much every day. And after Grandma passed away when I was 8, I began doing many chores for him. He lived alone in his home until he passed away at age 93. So I mowed the lawn. I help with the garden, both flowers and vegetable. I did some general cleaning. And my standard Saturday evening involved washing Grandpa's floor on my hands and knees, and then watching Hockey Night in Canada together. Often the evenings I spent with him held long periods of quiet, but we were happy just to be together. I know he appreciated the work I did for him. He often told me so. But he was happiest when I was just sitting with him, with or without conversation. And somehow, the work I did for him never felt like chores, even washing the floor, because it brought me joy just to do a little something for him. I loved to help him and to serve him because I loved him so. I learned from him that serving is a heart response to a loving relationship. And so it is with our Lord. The more we sit with him, talk with him, read his word, grow in relationship with him, the more our hearts respond with love in serving him. God loves us, loves for us to be working for him, but his greatest delight is that relationship with us. When our souls are satisfied with the love of the Lord, everything we do and think and say is impacted. May that be true of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your deep, rich love for us. May we soak in it today. And may your love for us and our response to you, to your love, impact all that we do and think and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Good to be here. We had a little bit of a distraction, if you want to call it that. Last Sunday, we were at an MCC Bolivia retreat at Pinawa. And I never even made it out of the facilities to even go to the water, which is like 100 meters down the beach there. I never even got there. We were so enthralled in visiting people. And it was interesting what kind of grouping of people come together to serve with MCC, especially MCC Bolivia. Maybe that's the redneck department of MCC, I'm not quite sure. But it was people that, it just boggles your mind. How did you and I end up serving at the same organization in a country that was never our own, and a culture that was never our own, and how did that happen? And I just have to say it was God's hand leading us and placing us together there, and we now carry fond memories of having served in a foreign country. It was an interesting blessing to be part of. And as I reflected on that this week, and I reflected a little bit on what Riley was speaking on a little bit later, why are we doing what we're doing? What's the purpose of it? It's been an interesting question to ponder for me, and I'm looking forward to what you have to say, Riley. I'm really curious, what are we doing, and why are we doing what we're doing, and for whom are we doing it? So as I looked for some songs, I came back to some simple hymns and yet profound hymns. And we want to start with number 310, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." That's the reason why we're here. The fount of every blessing is Jesus, our risen Lord. He is the one with whom we're striving for a relationship. He's the one who we're supposed to be doing what we're doing for, not for our own reputations, not to help you necessarily, but to serve him, and in so doing, serve each other. "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Please rise.
Thank you.
Our next song is number 424, Christ for the World We Sing. Are we singing? 424.
Invite the ushers to come forward to take this morning's offering. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, you are good. And we thank you that we are your children, that we sit under your love, your hand of protection, and your grace. Father, we ask for your comfort and peace upon the family of Anne Friesen. We pray for Ray and Bev and family and the entire extended family. Lord, may your peace be theirs. Thank you for Anne's life. We thank you for the bounty of the gardens and the beautiful crops. We thank you for the warmth of the sun and the rain we've received. All are gifts from you, Lord. We thank you for Morgan. And we ask, Father, that you would bless her and keep her today and all her days. May you guide her into all the fullness of what you plan for her. And may you be her delight and her song. We pray for Justin and Tyler as they celebrate together, as they spend time together. May they encourage one another. Bless them, Lord. We pray for families and family time as people step back and enjoy camping trips and time together. Lord, we ask for your jealous protection over our families and our marriages, our homes. We pray in a special way for Rudy and Kathy, and for Jerry and Cassie as they spend holiday time. We pray for rest and renewal for Rudy during this time of sabbatical. May you anoint him afresh as he rests in you. We pray for Riley as he brings your word, your message to us this morning. Give him boldness and joy and a fresh anointing of your spirit. Thank you for this family who gathers here. Thank you that you are amongst us, and may our hearts be touched by you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, can you come forward? Carla has a story for you this morning.
Good morning. Oh. Try again. Am I on? There we go. Good morning. So, today's Bible story or Bible reading that the sermon is based on is the story of Mary and Martha. Hands up if you've heard that one before. Some of you? Okay, good. So if you remember it, what does Martha do? Do you remember? No? How about Mary? What does Mary do? Let's look it up and then we'll know, okay? So it's in the book of Luke, and I'll just read a few of the verses because we're only going to talk about a little bit of it. So Jesus went to the home of a woman named Martha, and she had a sister called Mary. And it says, Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Mary was distracted by the preparations. So, did I say Mary? Martha. Martha was distracted. So Martha was pretty busy. And what did it say Mary did? Listened. That's what we're talking about today, listening. How many of you think you're good listeners? Few of you, awesome, good. Is listening something that you can get better at? Yes, absolutely. Just like riding a bike, playing baseball, playing piano, reading, you get better at something by doing it again and again and again. Listening is exactly the same way. So we are going to practice listening. So I want all of you to make sure you're sitting tall, both feet on the floor, hands on your lap, okay? Shoulders relaxed, don't be all tense. Just relax your body, because you want your ears to do the work. Not the rest of you, just your ears are gonna do the work. And every one of us is gonna be as quiet as possible. And for 1 minute, we're just going to listen and see what we hear. I'm going to set my timer so we know when the minute is up. It might feel kind of long, but we can do it. All right. So your job won't be to whisper, won't be to look around. We're all going to close our eyes so that our ears can do the work. And so when I say go, we're just going to see what we can hear. Are you ready? Okay, close your eyes. Okay, you can open your eyes now. What could you hear? Yep. Yeah, we heard someone coughing. What else? Okay, I heard that too. Someone was whispering. Could anybody hear their neighbor breathing? Yeah. Could you hear any noises from the basement of the church? Yeah, okay. Maybe a furnace fan or something running, yeah. Could anyone hear a noise from outside? Did any cars drive by? No, I didn't hear any cars. Did you hear any birds? I was listening, I couldn't hear any birds, no. What else? Anything else that we didn't talk about that you could hear? Yeah. Okay, good. Could you hear your heart beating? No, okay. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Yeah, for sure, especially when you're still, then you can feel it better than when you're busy doing stuff, right? All right, we're going to try it one more time, because remember, we get better with practice, but this time, I'm going to read a verse first. This verse is found in Psalm chapter 40, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So think about that verse as you listen with your ears. And you can also listen with your heart. Are you ready? When I say go, close your eyes again. All right, go. Okay, could you hear anything this time you didn't hear the first time? Mm-hmm, how about you? Okay, I heard it this time too and I didn't hear it the first time, good for you. Uh-huh, yeah. Okay, so why is what else did you hear? Okay, why is listening so important? You can get information. That's a good one. Why else do you listen? Yep. Mm-hmm. Do you sometimes need to listen so you know what to do? Mm-hmm. Why do you think Mary spent time listening to Jesus? Yeah. And was Jesus her friend? So do you listen to your friends? Absolutely. So the point I'm trying to make today is that listening to lots of people like your parents or your friends or Jesus is very important. And sometimes we listen with our ears, but we also listen with our hearts. But we have to be quiet. If we're talking and being busy, it's really hard to listen. So it's important to take time to be quiet, just like we were now, and listen and hear what Jesus has to say to us. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you whisper to us. You are often speaking to us. Thank you for the reminder that we need to stop and listen to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Carla. That's an exercise I think that would do a lot of us good, is to practice that once in a while, is to actually stop and listen. There's a few of those that we don't do very well, is like, be still. Let's sing number 312, Come, Come, Ye Saints.
This morning's scripture comes from Luke and 1 Corinthians. We'll start with Luke 10, 38 to 42. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard. While they were traveling, he, that is Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." Then we'll go just four books over to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. "If I speak human or angelic languages, but have not love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing."
Would you bow with me for prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you might recognize the title of the sermon as the phrase used by Big Idea Studios at the beginning of many of the VeggieTales Kids videos, with a picture of the little kid and then these words come across the screen: "Why we do what we do." So I've borrowed this title, and maybe I'm using it in a bit of a different context, but the more I thought about it, the more it seemed appropriate to what I'd like to touch on, so just wanted to acknowledge that that's where that came from. I'm guessing most of us are at least somewhat familiar with the story that was just read. Jesus comes over to Mary and Martha's house, and Mary listens to him while Martha is busy working to be hospitable towards Jesus. Martha eventually grows impatient with her sister for not helping out, and asks Jesus to make Mary give her a hand. Jesus, however, responds by telling her that it is she who is in the wrong and Mary who's in the right. It's rather easy to gloss over sometimes. But the more I thought about this story, the more I began to realize how relatable and applicable the story is to our own lives. There are some important life lessons to be learned in these few verses. This morning, I would like to go through this story verse by verse, or play by play, as if you will, and through it, explore with you some of the lessons that God has been teaching me lately. As we examine this passage, may we consider and heed the implications it has for our own lives. So let's dive in, right at verse 38. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him." All right, so the scene is set. As we begin, we find Martha welcoming a very special visitor into her house. Now, I'm sure we can all relate to the excitement of having a dear, much-anticipated guest over. You're so excited to see him or her and enjoy fellowship with them, but of course, preparations must be made. Sweep the floor, tidy the house, prepare a feast, maybe even get out the extra nice dishes and silverware. Make sure everything is just right. Your cherished guest should arrive any minute, and you can hardly wait. From this verse, we can also observe Martha's attitude toward Jesus. She evidently wanted and was willing to serve him, as it tells us that she opened her home to him. Martha often gets the bad rap for her actions and attitude shown later in the story, but the fact that she opened her home to him tells us that she was not entirely in the wrong, but more on this a little later. Verse 39, "She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said." What an incredible opportunity. Just imagine being with Jesus face to face, sitting at his feet and simply listening to whatever he wanted to say to you, to everyone gathered there. Maybe you'd even get to ask some questions. If you had an audience with Jesus face to face, what would you want to hear him talk about? What would you want to ask him? I wonder if Mary realized what an incredible place she was sitting in. To be honest, I doubt that we would have any better comprehension of what a holy, privileged place that would be. So here's Mary, sitting at the feet of the Lord himself, listening to and learning from the eternal word of God straight from the mouth of the word made flesh. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. It's kind of tragic, isn't it? What was Martha missing out on without even realizing it? Once again, though, if we're honest, it is rather understandable. I mean, Martha was just trying to be the good hostess, right? But this story should give us a bit of an outside perspective on our own experience. How much do we miss out on when we don't listen to God, whether because of choice or simple negligence? And so far in the story, everything's been all hunky-dory, but now it sounds like trouble's brewing. Something is simmering, and it doesn't seem like it's heading anywhere good. Martha's distracted by work to be done, but Mary is elsewhere. Eventually, it seems to have become more than Martha can handle, and she's fed up with her sister's alleged inconsiderateness. Verse 40b. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Finally, Martha's stress, frustration, and impatience come to a head in quite an outburst. Imagine Jesus sitting and teaching Mary and his disciples, and in storms Martha. You can almost hear her exasperated, impatient tone. Personally, though, I know I need to watch my own attitude while reading this. I don't know about you, but I find it easy to slide into looking down disapprovingly on Martha's actions here and rather self-righteously thinking, "Oh, Martha, shouldn't you know better? It's always best to listen to Jesus, obviously." But as much as it might sting to admit, once again, if we're honest with ourselves, perhaps we can relate all too well with how Martha felt. I'm guessing we've all been in her shoes before. We feel like we're doing all the work while others simply lounge about, and it doesn't seem fair. I've been there myself, far more than I'd like to admit. It's easy to pity oneself, but perhaps sometimes we really aren't taking the time to consider and weigh the value of what others are doing. Perhaps we get caught up in the same kind of thoughts and attitude as Martha did. But anyways, Jesus responds to Martha's complaint, to her allegation, and to her request that he enforce a change in her favor. I think that Jesus' response was probably not quite what Martha expected, and certainly not what she was hoping for at that moment. Rather than telling Mary to go help out her sister, it is Martha whom Jesus addresses, and to whom he gives correction, no less. Verses 41 to 42a say, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one." So what went wrong here? What exactly was Martha's mistake? Weren't the things she was doing good? As hostess, shouldn't she have been making preparations? That's the normal thing to do, right? Well, normally yes, but there's more in play here. Let's piece it together. These verses tell us that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Okay. So she was distracted by her work. But from what? From what was she distracted? Or rather, should we say, from whom was she distracted? Reading a little further, we read that Jesus told Martha that it was Mary, who was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him, who had chosen what was better. So Martha was distracted from listening to Jesus by her hospitable actions of serving him. In other words, she was more focused on her actions of service than on the one whom she was serving. Note again, as we said before, that the underlying problem was not that Martha wasn't willing or wasn't wanting to serve Jesus. On the contrary, back in verse 38, we read that Martha opened her home to him. However, the desire to serve the Lord did not make her impervious to distraction. By show of hands, have any of you ever gotten up to do some task, or even just to get something, and then promptly forgotten why you were doing it, or even what you were about to do altogether? Okay, so I'm not the only one here. That's good. I think this, on a much smaller and much more insignificant scale, is what happened to Martha. She knew what she was doing in the literal sense, making preparations to be hospitable towards Jesus, but she had lost sight of what was truly important. In a deeper sense, then, she forgot what she was doing, or what she should have been doing, seeking Jesus. I think we can all relate in some way or another to Martha's mistake. We've all at some point gotten so caught up in doing things for God that we forget why and for whom we do these things. We become fixated on actions to the point of losing perspective, at which point it just becomes about the actions themselves. I know I'm guilty of this. And when I am so focused on good deeds in this way, seeking these deeds in themselves, I'm doing things my way. And often for my glory rather than for God's, making an idol of good works. I'm being legalistic, which normally leads either to pride and self-righteousness or to discouragement and pain. When such distraction sets in our lives, it can have drastic effects on our walk with God. For one, it is a sure sign that we aren't listening to the Lord's direction. Further, Jesus told Martha that she was worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Rather than receiving the joy, fulfillment, and satisfaction of serving her Lord, her distraction had clearly only caused her worry, stress, and frustration that were all totally unnecessary, and it even spilled over onto others. It's the same for us. Just as the classic hymn says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear." The truth of the matter is that as good as our actions of love and service might seem, both to ourselves and to others, God is concerned first and foremost not with our actions, but with our heart. As 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." What God wants first is the heart for him out of which we should work for and listen to him. If we are so focused on good deeds that we lose sight of why we're doing them, and if they become the priority rather than an overflow from the heart, these actions are only a distraction. They lose their eternal value and ultimately become completely and utterly meaningless. And I think it would be fair to say that we as Mennonites struggle with this sort of distraction. We, myself included, like to pride ourselves in our hard work and in our work ethic. We like to get things done, and that's great. The ability and passion that we've been given to work hard is indeed something for which we ought to be grateful. But I think it also makes it easier for us to lose perspective of the place of good deeds in a life of faith. When we know of something that God wants us to do, we hunker down and work hard to get it done. And I think that too often we tend to focus too much on the work for the sake of working hard and forget that good deeds only ever have any power or significance at all when they are an overflow of a heart of love for God. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3 expresses precisely this notion. It was read earlier this morning, but I'd like to read it again. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." So what if we were to paraphrase this passage to specifically address our own context? Perhaps it might go something like this. "If I cook 1,000 meals for those who are sick or grieving, do yard work for all those who need a hand, if I can preach sermons that impact and change lives but have not love, I'm nothing. If I can choose and play the perfect songs for church services, offer the perfect word of advice or encouragement to those who are downcast or confused, if I donate all my possessions and all my time to MCC, and if I go on 1,000 MDS mission trips, but have not love, I gain nothing." Now, don't get me wrong. It is not at all my goal to criticize good deeds themselves or to say we don't need them. On the contrary, demonstrating our faith through actions is critical to said faith, as we read in James 2, verses 17 to 18 and 26, which say, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. As James says, showing our faith through deeds is vital to the Christian life. However, one of the assumptions here is that we remember why or for whom we do these deeds. If our heart is focused on God, our actions will reflect that. We must keep Christ as the center, as the reason and the impetus behind every good deed we do, or else these deeds are alienated and estranged from their only source of true power and significance, and, as we just read, they all mean nothing. However, it is also important to remember that when we do mess up and lose perspective, there is grace. Coming back to Jesus' response to Martha's outburst, there are three things in particular I'd like to point out. First, notice the manner in which Jesus responded to Martha. He did not wheel around with a harsh, "Quit complaining, Martha, get your priorities straight." No, despite her error and complaining, rather than harshly shutting her down, Jesus responded lovingly and compassionately. "Martha, Martha." And here the New Living Translation says, "My dear Martha." Next, he acknowledges her struggle. "You are worried and upset about many things." Jesus didn't brush off Martha's frustration and hurt because she was in the wrong, but rather, he responded lovingly. And while displaying love, he offered the gentle yet firm correction she needed. "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one." This is such a beautiful example of God's attitude toward us. He was our Father, always loving and gentle, yet firm. Even when we're in the wrong, he does not blow us off until we get our act together, but is gracious and patient. He acknowledges our struggle and hurt, even if we have needlessly brought them on ourselves, and he always yearns to give us the correction we need in order to pick us up and get us going again. Verse 42b, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." God is trustworthy and just, and in him our lot and future are sure. Jesus refused to take away from Mary the blessing she received as a result of her choice to seek and listen to him. God treats everyone, including us, the same way. He will not take away good from those who are faithful to him. David expressed gratitude for God for this blessing and assurance and the peace that followed in Psalm 16, verses 5 to 6, when he says, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." While we will face hardship in this world, if we submit to God, we can rest assured that we will experience his blessing even amidst trial, for he is just and faithful and will surely carry through with his promises. We aren't told what happened after this conversation between Jesus and Martha. I wonder how Martha responded. Did she heed Christ's words? Or did she bitterly turn away and miss out all the more on not only his teaching, but also his correction and the blessing that would have followed humble acceptance of his words? Of course, we don't know how she reacted. And either way, the real question for us is this: will you let yourself be distracted by striving for good deeds in themselves and so go your own way? Or will you continually set your focus on God with his help, making him the center of all you do and let him transform and work through you? And when Christ offers you correction, will you humble yourself, admit your error, and heed his words? Or will you cling to distraction from the only thing that ultimately matters and miss out on the blessing and fulfillment that only Christ gives? With God's help, let us seek first and foremost after God's heart, making him the center of all we do, that we may, in the words of Philippians 2:15, become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then we will shine like stars in the sky. Amen.
Well said, Riley. Well said. Why are we doing? Let's respond and stand by singing number 581, I Am Thine, O Lord. 581, please.
This morning's benediction is taken from Ephesians 3:17 to 19 and from Colossians 3, verse 17. Let's bow for prayer. As you go from here, may you be rooted and established in love, and may you have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Go in peace.